to look at two or three verses in this chapter, in Ephesians chapter 5 tonight. We will not be on the survey of the Bible series. We'll hold off until everybody is back in place for that. And, of course, several folks out tonight with the returning the kids to their homes. So we'll settle into Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse number 1 there. The Bible says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Then drop down to verse 15. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." So I want to talk to you tonight just a few minutes here about the subject, using time as an investment. Using time as an investment. Dear Father, thank you for these days with these children. Thank you for the faithful writers who come every week, who've been faithful to come to the Bible school. Thank you for the new kids that have come. Thank you for some, Lord, who used to come and have come back. And I pray, dear God, that you'll bless the last night tomorrow night, make it a wonderful night as it closes out. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us. I want to thank you, God, for this church and the host of people in it who use their time as an investment. Encourage us all in this matter, and Lord, we'll thank you for it. We love you. Pray that you'll help me in these few moments in Jesus' name. And amen. It's been a great vacation Bible school these last 3 days, and I guess sometimes that gets you when we talk about events and things that go on, maybe it sounds redundant. I guess there have been a few things that have fallen flat over the years, but this one hasn't. This has been a tremendous vacation Bible school. It was 195 kids on Monday night, 211 last night, 236 tonight. Usually it starts going down Wednesday night. It went up significantly over last night. We're hoping that maybe tomorrow night would hit 250. We don't know, but we'd like to see that. It's been a couple of years since I have been able to participate in Vacation Bible School. Last year I was gone all week of the Bible school, and of course had all the voicemail messages when I landed in town Thursday night. But anyway, we're going to quit mentioning that because poor Brother Mick, you know, life does move on, amen. And Matt was that we were in the balcony watching the skit, and he said, "No swords this year." I said, "No, bananas." And I said, "Nobody can get hurt with a banana." And the attorney said, "Don't say that." So he probably knows better than I do. We should never take for granted anything, I guess. But it's been a couple of years since I participated, and I have enjoyed being a part this year. I've just enjoyed it. I got to drive a bus Monday and Tuesday, and I got to preach last night. And it's been just a lot of fun. We've had a great turnout from the church kids and from the community. So it's been great. The biggest blessing to my heart has been just to watch the volunteer help on the part of so many adults and so many teenagers. And I'm telling you, you know, we don't have perfect teenage kids. They got hang-ups and issues, I guess, like other places. But, man, there's a pile of them. They don't have to be here. They come because they want to, you know. And I guess that some of them look at it like an activity. I guess they do, but a lot of, man, I tell you what, that's a pretty rough activity. Take care of all those kids on that bus and then, you know, go home in the bus. And it's not all peaceful and calm, you know. So it's a bit of a blessing to my heart. I have watched the kids throw themselves into everything from skits to soul winning to just everything. And the adults, it's been a great source of encouragement. You know, and it's not just Vacation Bible School. It's all the time and all the energy expended in the ministries of Faith Baptist Church that amazes me on the part of volunteer people, okay? Now, I'm the pastor here. It's what I do, okay? And then you got paid staff, and they're paid for their time here. But when I look at the great army of volunteer helpers and all the time and all the energy, and I mean from what we would call the smallest things to what we would call the biggest things, many of you here tonight are involved in some way through one ministry or another. And that's a great, great blessing. And I want to dispel any doubt one might have about using your time in a local church ministry opportunity, if it's worth it or not. I want to dispel any doubt. You know, there might be some, I haven't heard anything. I'm not preaching tonight to correct a problem. Maybe this is preventive medicine or maintenance. I've not heard this, but maybe there are some who verbally cast doubt on service that you render through the local New Testament church. Does it ever amount to anything? Does it do any good? Maybe there are some who verbally cast out. Maybe there are others who, through indifference, they do not offer encouragement to those who do serve. You know, inactivity can be discouraging to those who are involved. You know, inactivity. Now, you know, you got to get over that, beyond that. Never use that as an excuse or a crutch not to be involved yourself. But the truth is, inactivity on the part of some can be discouraging to others. The truth is, every member of the body can contribute in some way. And contributing members are an encouragement to the others. And I know, you know, age catches up with some people, and feet don't move as quickly, and hands don't move as quickly, and you're not physically able to do what 20-year-olds are able to do and 30-year-olds are able to do. But there's a whole host of people who are involved here on a volunteer basis in some ministry through Faith Baptist Church. I want to dispel any doubt that you may have and hopefully replace it with full assurance that serving God in some ministry is a great use of the time that you put into it. It's a great use of the time. Look at verse number 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. So Paul begins this chapter exhorting us to be followers of God. Now folks, look, this expresses every preacher's goal for the people God has given him the opportunity to influence, okay? And to pastor or to work with in some ministry. The goal is following God. If the preacher is worth anything, he will be interested in building followers of God. Our goal here is not to gather a crowd just to come sit in the pews of Faith Baptist Church. Our goal is to build followers of God, all right? Bill Hybels, they got a new term out today. It's called the emergent church. The emergent church is the one that's on the cutting edge of technology and marketing and, you know, has the Starbucks in the foyer and, you know, and all. I mean, that's literally all across this land and places like that, things like that going on. The emergent church, you know, and so forth and so on. Bill Hybels, the ministry of Willow Creek, he has now admitted that they have done a good job of gathering people, but a poor job at making disciples. And I'll tell you what, our goal has never been to just draw a crowd. Now, numbers are important because they represent a soul, but that's not an end. That's only a means to an end. The end is to build followers of God. And that's what Paul exhorted these folks. Be ye therefore followers of God. A disciple is a follower, and Paul desired followers, not just gatherers. But I want you to notice he then adds a qualitative phrase to that, be ye therefore followers of God. He then qualifies it by saying, as dear children. As dear children. So there must be several different ways to follow God. And he says that we ought to follow God as dear children. I guess that would be a big difference in how a child would follow over as compared to how a hired hand or an hourly employee would follow somebody. An hourly employee or a hired hand would follow out of duty. Maybe they would follow out of loyalty. But a dear child follows out of love. Love is the motivating factor in the dear child's following. He follows because he wants to, he chooses to, or he desires to. He does not follow because he has to. He follows because he wants to. His motivation is love. And that's what Paul tells us here. He says, you be a follower of God, and you follow him as a dear child. And he even says one of the first ways to follow him is to walk in love. Verse number 2, walk in love. And that's pretty obvious what he talks about. We pretty well know what he talks about when he talks about walking in love. But you drop down to verse number 15, he says, walk circumspectly. Walk circumspectly. Now, the word circumspectly means cautiously, with watchfulness every way, with attention to guard against surprise or danger. Picture, if you will, an army platoon walking through an opening in the jungles of Vietnam, and they're surrounded by a jungle canopy on all sides, if you will, and they're walking through knee-high grass or vegetation, knowing that there could be mines planted. And so they're not only worried about the enemy hiding in the jungle, worried about the flyovers, they're worried about where they step every step because there could be a mine planted. So they are walking cautiously. They're walking circumspectly through the field. And that's what Paul tells us to walk as dear children, walk circumspectly. We should walk circumspectly, carefully, avoiding danger. But folks, you know, while we walk through life circumspectly, we should also walk wisely. And that's what he says in verse 15 as well. Not as fools, but as wise. And then he says, redeeming the time. Walk cautiously and walk wisely, not being caught off guard, and yet all the while not wasting time. It's not enough to go through life on the defensive, cautiously all the time, defending against attack. We must at the same time be on the offensive. We must be proactive. So walk cautiously while you walk on the offensive, making a positive use of your time. Paul told us to redeem time. The word redeem means to buy it back. Buy back time? How do you buy back time? Time can't be recalled, but it can be redeemed. Time can't be relived, but it can be redeemed. Once time is gone, it is gone. It cannot be relived. It cannot be recalled, but it can live on for eternity, depending on how we used it. And the truth of the matter is, folks, that time is either spent, and when you spend it, it's gone. Or time is invested. And when you invest time, you will be able to redeem it. Redeeming time. The only way to redeem time is to invest it, not spend it, okay? You can't relive it. You can't recall it. But according to how we use it, it will either just be used and that's it, or it will live on for eternity in the eons of eternity future. I think about idleness. I think about excess of sleep. I think about overdone recreation. I think about an excess of worldly business, too much attention to the body, an abundance of time spent on self. You know what all those things are? All those things are robbers of time. Time used on those type things and other thieves is spent. We have to spend some of it. We got to spend time. I mean, taking care of things that just end right then. But there ought to be a part of my time, a part of the time, a bit of it that God has given me that I just don't spend and see it end right there. There ought to be a part of the time that God has given me that I invest. And only the time that I invest will be redeemed or bought back. It will pay dividends in the future. And the Bible says, he tells us to do this because the days are evil. Paul described his day as an evil day. Well, if Paul's day was an evil day, folks, I think we can safely say ours is probably worse than his. Our days are far more evil. There are so many ways today in which we can waste time. So many ways. So many ways for us to use it for selfish purposes, even foolish purposes. There are so many ways for us today to spend time so that we spend it, it's gone, and it has no residual influence. So many ways. I think about sometimes all the technology we have. Have you ever tried to change the main name on a cell phone? Abby gets married, and she was the name on the plan for her and Luke, and my wife. Three phones on the plan. I'm telling you, no kidding aside, I bet my wife has spent 2 hours on the phone with those people trying to get the name changed from Abby Angel to Joyce Angel. That's frustrating. It's incredibly frustrating. iPasses. You think you got changed? You know what I'm saying? We got all this technology and all this stuff, and you know what it does? It's a dark sucking hole of time. Got to do it, but just, and that's just two things. That's just an iPad and a cell phone. How about all the gadgets we got? It's incredible how much time is just consumed. Our time spent on stuff that spent. It's just spent, and that's as far as it goes. Doesn't go any further. A child of God in this day and age has got to be certain, has got to take great care to make sure that at least a part, a little bit of the time that God has given us, because it does belong to God. We got to make sure that we take part of the time that God has given us and not just spend it on stuff that ends, but invest it in lives, invest it in ministry, invest it in others that hopefully will have a residual effect and will redeem that time. We'll meet it in the years to come. We'll meet it in eternity future. We'll meet it at the judgment seat of Christ. Are you investing at least a part of the time God has given you, or are you spending it all? Are you spending it all? I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I understand that. You know, I'm convinced that there are ways to invest time, not spend it, but invest it outside of the local church ministry. But I'm going to ask you a question. How many of us would be aggressive enough on our own without a local church to seek out ways to invest time? Let's be honest with ourselves. Some in the church, with all the opportunities to invest time, still don't take advantage of it. But if there was no church, if there was no opportunity for ministry, Sunday school, bus, King's Kids, baptistry, soul winning, altar help, on and on it goes. All that goes on here, make the meals, everything. If there was no structured, consistent opportunity to invest time through a local church ministry, how many of us would be aggressive enough to seek out an opportunity on our own? It's quiet in here. You probably wouldn't. I thank God for the local church. I thank God for the institution of the local church, brother. I mean, and if you're part of it, and all these ministry opportunities, and you know, just not everybody can work Vacation Bible School. That's not my point tonight. My point tonight is not, I'm not railing on anybody who's not working in Vacation Bible School, because I'm looking at folks who do a myriad of things here. I'm glad for the ones that can't. I'm just saying, look, if there's any doubt in your mind that time invested through the ministry of the local church, anybody ever says, well, you know what, that church just wants to get everybody to serve in some capacity, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's how God designed it. And God gave us an institution and a way where we could put, you know what? And you say, well, how about my family and my home? I understand that, but it's time for us, once in a while, we have to think outside the four walls of our own home. Jesus didn't even have a home. He began his public ministry. Didn't have a place to lay his head. I'm just saying, folks, if it was left to us just to find a way on our own to invest time so that it can be redeemed, most of us would not seek out those opportunities. The local church is more than just a gathering hole. It provides an opportunity for the people to invest time. There is structure, there's consistency to the ministries, which makes it easier to set the time aside to invest as a dear child in following God. You know, some might say that, well, investment or involvement in ministry does not mean a person is automatically following God and loves God. And I suppose that's true. I suppose all that doesn't automatically make you a follower of God as a dear child. But can I remind you about John chapter 21, when Jesus asked Peter three times, lovest thou me? And when Peter responded every time, yes, I do, what did Jesus say? Feed my sheep. Go invest in somebody. You love me, invest in somebody. You kind of get the idea that people who love Jesus are looking for an opportunity to invest in somebody else. He said it three times. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Lord, thou knowest. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. You feed my sheep. These are evil days. God has given us a great opportunity. These are days that are evil in the fact that these days are horrible time consumers. Time consumer days. But God has given us a great opportunity through the ministry of a local New Testament church to redeem some of our time by investing it. Let me encourage you, friend, if you're already involved, and investing some of the time God's given you in a local church ministry, don't ever think for one moment that it's a waste. That's time not spent. That's time invested.